Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hard to believe that it's been a week since the Razorbacks basketball season ended. A lot of things have happened since then, notably on the recruiting trail for the Razorbacks. They picked up a couple of commitments, one out of the transfer portal, one out of the high school ranks. And Eric Musselman, if he does anything well other than basketball, it's selling his program, and he's done a good job of diverting people's attention away from the end of the season toward the 2022-23 season. And we'll talk about that today on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. Matt Jones with Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. Scotty, you and Bob were in San Francisco. Now that you've had a week to reflect on that run through the NCAA tournament, just what are your thoughts about what you saw?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this on a radio show recently, but you know, the last 2 years Eric's taken, you know, Arkansas to, you know, deep into the second weekend. And I think, you know, just the level that, you know, Eric and his staff are recruiting at, I mean, I don't know if it's fair to expect Elite Eight or Sweet 16 every year, but I think that's kind of what Arkansas fans are looking at right now. Like if Eric can get Arkansas to that point with the last two teams he's had, imagine what he can do with a roster that's got three McDonald's All-Americans on it. And by the way, he's got three other four stars in the recruiting class too. And then, you know, he kind of works his magic in the transfer portal and gets guys that, you know, they always contribute in really in some ways spectacular fashion. You know, like Justin Smith and Trey Wade was enormous. He was kind of a, I don't know if an afterthought is the right word to use, just in terms of what Arkansas got out of the transfer portal, like Stanley and Moose Tony, I think were the highlights. But Trey Wade, I mean, he essentially won Arkansas a Sweet 16 game against the number one overall seed. So you just kind of, you never know, but he always gets his guys to perform. And you know, just look, thinking back to the Duke game, you know, me and Bob were sitting next to each other in the second. And in the second half, I remember Duke went to its 2-3 zone. And I'm not a big person at all. I'm 5'10", 5'11" on a good day. But sitting down next to that Duke 2-3 zone and just looking at their size, like it's a different kind of size. Like the Mark Williams kid, they put him in the back in the middle of that zone. And he basically, you know, he had everything covered from the front of the rim to the free throw line. And it's really hard to beat a zone when you got a guy that can take up that much space and, you know, impact, you know, offense in the lane. But Duke's just a ultra talented team. And I was talking to a buddy about this the other day. I've seen Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, and Paolo Banchero, you know, all in person this year. And Paolo Banchero is just built different. Like he's 6'10", 250, and his calves are the size of his thighs. Like he's different, and he's just got a unique skill set. I mean, I'd probably take him second behind Jabari Smith, and I'd probably go Chet third. But just pretty unbelievable run from Arkansas. And, you know, they ran into a better team, like a bigger team, more talented team. And I think Eric realizes, you know, kind of the holes that he's got to Phil, and you know, he got started on that with Trevor Brazil from Missouri. It's not like a really flashy, splashy name, but you know, I think Eric's going to take a guy like that and you know, tap into that potential, and I think he's going to be a pretty terrific player here. But yeah, it's been a really long week, I feel like, since Arkansas finished its season, but it was a pretty awesome year all the way around. And I'm just glad I got to follow it, you know, from New York to California.
Bob, when you were a younger man, this was pretty common, these types of runs for the Razorbacks. You've been on a lot of these Elite Eight, Final Four type runs in the past. I know you didn't cover the team in person last year because of all the different guidelines, you know, that were in place in Indianapolis. What was it like for you to go through that gauntlet again?
Well, yeah, it kind of did bring back some memories from the 90s. I covered three Final Fours, you know, 90, 94, 95 with Nolan Richardson. Of course, the national title in 94. And and runner up in 95. And, you know, yeah, people have to, I hope they appreciate what these teams have done the last 2 years. I know they didn't get to the Final Four, but first back-to-back Elite Eights for Arkansas since 94-95. You know, pretty significant accomplishment. And, you know, good players, good teams, but really, I think probably overachieved getting to where they did. You know, I think Eric did a good job, as he always does, of mixing in, you know, returnees and the portal. And, but yeah, that Gonzaga game, I mean, that's, you know, outside of winning the national title and getting to a Final Four, that's one of the biggest wins Arkansas has ever had, because first win over a number one seed. They beat and also the number one ranked team in AP first, and they beat, you know, number one ranked team earlier in the year. So that's pretty significant. And Gonzaga's got a lot of talent. You know, Holmgren's a special player, and of course they got him in foul trouble, and that was probably the key to the win. And then Duke, I mean, I think Duke's got three number one picks on that team right now. I don't know that Arkansas has any. Maybe Jalen Williams could be a number one pick if he comes back and has a big year. But, you know, I thought Arkansas's shot at Duke was their experience against Duke's inexperience. And if, you know, because Duke had shown some vulnerability this year, losing North Carolina at home under so much pressure in Coach K's last home game, losing the ACC tournament final to Virginia Tech, you're going, how did that happen, you know? And then you think, well, this obviously is a lot of pressure trying to get Coach K back to the Final Four. And if he loses, it's his last game. Of course, they were playing under that pressure against Michigan State and Texas Tech as well. But I just thought, you know, Duke's talent just, you know, just overwhelmed Arkansas. And Sky talked about the size they have. And, you know, Arkansas didn't – I don't think Arkansas, quote, lost. I think Duke won. I mean, Duke was just a better team playing at a higher level. And Arkansas, you know, they just overwhelmed, but that's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, if Duke plays up to its potential, I think it's probably, like Eric Musselman said, I think they probably win the national championship in New Orleans. But that's a big if.
Just talking about the size again, like I was looking at, you know, in the second half when Arkansas cut the game to 5 points, Duke called timeout, and then their possession right out of that timeout on offense, they threw it into Paolo at 6'10", 250, and he just powered through Stan. And Stan has been a terrific defender all season, but he's given up 4 inches and like probably 30 pounds. And so he didn't really stand much of a chance, as good of a defender as he's been all year. It just wasn't going to go his way. And then Wendell Moore Jr., like you kind of look at him on that Duke roster as kind of a guard, but he's taller than Stan. Like he's same size Stan is. I just think the size just kind of all the way around. I think maybe outside of Jeremy Roach, that was what was most impressive to me. And I think, you know, Eric's probably, I mean, you look at the roster he's going to have next year. It's lots of guys that are, you know, in that 6'4" to 6'7" range and long. You possibly bring Jalen back and you add Trevin Brazil, possibly another portal guy. I think you just need a little bit of size. Front court depth, I think, to me is the biggest thing, because I think during this tournament run, Eric really, he trusted a lot his front court guys, but they weren't always like a Trey Wade. He's a solid forward, but not just a ton of size there. Like he was probably the best matchup for Paolo Banchero, and he just does it size for size. It's just not a match. I just think front court depth is so important for Arkansas moving forward, just to have somebody, you know, to be able to spell Jalen for stretches and, you know, not feel like whenever he's on the bench, like the game could be decided that time.
Bob, I wonder what you think about this. I've had this thought a little bit. And of course, you know, Arkansas got the commit earlier this week from Anthony Black, a 5-star McDonald's All-American, who's going to join Nick Smith and Jordan Walsh on next year's teams, other 5-star McDonald's All-Americans. Those are three of the top 20 players in the country, if you look at ESPN. I was thinking back to like the late 80s. You know, you had players like you know, Keith Wilson and Mario Credit and some of those guys, you know, maybe Arlen Bowers, who came in and kind of laid a foundation. And then that allowed Nolan to go recruit the types like Todd Day and Lee Mayberry and Oliver Miller. And then later on, Scottie Thurman, Corliss Williamson, the ones who won the national championship. Do you see any similarities between the late 80s and maybe what we've seen the last couple of years with some of these players like Williams and Davis and laying a foundation for Musselman to go do his magic on the recruiting trail?
Well, yeah, I think success does help. And, Nolan Richardson didn't take over a totally broken program, but he had to get his kind of players in there. It was a different system that he and Eddie Sutton ran, a coaching transition. And, of course, it's different now with the portal. Everything's changed with that. But, yeah, I think you do have to start having some success at a certain level, going to the NCAA tournament, and then you're able to, move on more in the NCAA tournament. If you look at Arkansas, I think Richardson's first NCAA tournament team in 88 lost to Villanova. And then the next year you had Dan Mayberry coming in and Miller. Of course, Miller wasn't quite as highly rated. Dan Mayberry sounds All-Americans, and then they got – to the second round and lost to Louisville. Then 90s when they really had their big breakthroughs when they went to the Final Four. So I think you do have to sort of take steps in that regard. Eric came in and had a pretty good first year. We don't know what that first year would have been like with COVID. They still probably had to win another game, maybe two, to get to the tournament. But I think if the committee had looked at what Arkansas did when Isaiah Joe was healthy, they were definitely an NCAA tournament. And then, so Eric took some of the players that he inherited from Mike Anderson, some good players like Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones, and did a good job that first year with them. Then he was able to add some portal guys, Moses Moody. Everybody knew he was good. I don't know if anybody knew he was as good as he turned out to be. And then you get to where you are now, to where they're going to be ranked, definitely ranked in the top five preseason. They may be number one. Kind of depends maybe on who they add. Who comes back still, who they had. But, yeah, I think you have to sort of take some gradual steps there. And so there are some similarities from the late 80s / early 90s to what they've done here in Eric's first 3 years going into year four.
I guess for Nolan, the transfer portal was the junior college circuit. Corey Beck, Dwight Stewart, Lindsey Howell, he really built his team, those early teams, through getting really good JUCO players.
Well, yeah, and of course he'd won a national junior college championship, so I think he understood the value of junior college players. And also, I'm sure that with the success he had at the junior college level, he had very good contacts. Eddie Sutton was a junior college player too, and he got Ron Brewer from junior college and Alvin Robertson. So Arkansas, has a history of some really good junior college players, and it's a different. It's a different thing now. You don't really think that much about junior college players. Still doesn't mean there aren't good ones out there you can add, but now it seems like you're adding, if you're adding guys, experienced college players, it's going to be more through the portal than through JUCO. But, there are a lot of ways to add guys, whether it's high school, portal, JUCO, guys from other four-year schools. So there's a lot of different ways, and whatever way there is, I feel like Eric Musselman's going to utilize that to the utmost.
We'll talk more about Anthony Black's commitment here in just a minute. Another big commit that the Razorbacks got this week was Trayvon Brazil, a forward from Missouri, who's going to transfer in here after spending one season in Columbia. And Scotty, you wrote about this week, that Eric Musselman's done a really good job of going and getting some of the players who, I guess, have impressed him in games that he's coached against them. I mean, you had Stanley Amude from South Dakota, Justin Smith. You mentioned that Vance Jackson, even though he didn't really pan out that well here at Arkansas, Musselman had seen him whenever he was coaching at Nevada and Jackson was playing at New Mexico. And now you've got another example of this. Brazil, in two games against Arkansas this year, didn't score a whole lot, just 11 points in those two games, but he was really active underneath the basket, had 16 rebounds, had some block shots. And this is that type of link that you were talking about that they're going to be able to really showcase next year.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Like, as soon as I saw that Arkansas was talking to Trevin, and then when he committed, I'm like, my mind immediately went back to the press conference before Arkansas Missouri's second game. And I think Eric was specifically asked about Brazil, and he spoke at length about him, just really was a big fan of him. Like, Arkansas beat the crap out of Missouri by 44 points, but he remembered like the 8 boards and 2 blocks and 3 points that Trevin had against Arkansas and Bud Walton. And he just, I think he kind of impressed him. Like, he's got a lot of potential, and that I think Eric saw that. And I don't know that Missouri was necessarily, Eric probably in his mind was like, I can do probably a little bit more with this kid than Missouri can. So when, you know, things didn't work out with Quanzo Martin, I mean, I'm sure Trevin was looking for another place to play, and Eric was like, hey, why don't you come play for me? I know you probably want to get to the league and you want to, you know, probably maximize some of this potential that you've got. And he's like, I can help you do that. And I think Eric's really excited about him. I remember, I think it was Valentine's Day. We were previewing the Missouri game on the road. And Eric was just going on and on about his offensive rebounding, how he can, you know, switch out on guards on the perimeter, which at 6'9", not every 6'9" kid can do that, but Trevin can, and he's got pretty good length. And I was looking at some of his numbers on CBB analytics. He finished 75.5% of his shots at the rim. He's a little bit less effective, like outside of 4 feet in the lane. But if you break down his shots, you know, you kind of cut that outside the restricted area in the lane into four squares. You know, I think he was 6 out of 10 near the right block, which tells you he's got a little bit of potential as maybe a back to the basket guy. I know Eric doesn't do that just a whole lot, but definitely some things you can work with there. And not much of an in-between game, I don't think. Maybe that grows a little bit, but I was pretty intrigued by, you know, looking at his perimeter shooting, 50% in the corners. I mean, that's the best, most efficient three I think you can take, and 6'9" guys shooting 50%. I think it was 14 or 16 attempts. So not bad numbers there. And then I think he's going to help right away with rim protection. And Arkansas wasn't the greatest team protecting the rim this year. I think Jalen taking charges was about their best form of rim protection. And then obviously he could block some shots, him and Stanley, and Trey Wade would block a shot, you know, around the rim every now and then too. But I mean, I think that just gives you some depth. We don't know what Jalen's going to do. Like, I've been looking at mocks lately, and he's early second round, mid second round, late second round. Like, but if Jalen comes back, I mean, that gives you a pretty formidable front court, I would think. I would think that Eric would bring this guy in and start him at the five and let Jalen play a little bit at the four, which I think is a little bit more natural to Jalen. But if Jalen moves on, you know, I think Trevin can step in and protect the rim in a different way than Jalen. I think Trevin had 6 blocks against Illinois earlier this year against Kofi Coburn, who's an All-American, played pretty well in that game. His block rate in that game, he blocked 30% of Illinois' 2-point shots when he was on the floor, which is pretty impressive. I think I think his offensive game can grow, but the defense is what you're going to get a lift from right away. And then, you know, if he stays in the program for a couple of years, he could be pretty special on both ends, I think.
I thought he was Missouri's best player in Tampa. I was just looking up the stats to remind myself. He had 15 points and 8 boards and 2 blocks against LSU. And we know they got a pretty good front line. And against Ole Miss, he had 9 points, 9 boards and 2 blocks. So if you look at his season stats, they don't jump off the page at you. But he missed the first 6 or 7 games with some kind of undisclosed injury. And then he really came on, you know, late in the year especially. And so I think he's a huge pickup for Arkansas. And plus, you're talking about a guy that's played in the SEC, so he understands, you know, he's played in these league arenas. He's played against the players. You know, he's not just a guy from another big conference. He's a guy who's played in the SEC. And, you know, so I think that's a really big pickup for Arkansas, because I think this guy was playing really well at the end of the year, and I think he's got a super high ceiling.
I think something, too, that I found really interesting looking at CBB analytics. I mean, this kid was a freshman this year, and one of the most impressive things that I found was that he averaged 1.5 blocks per personal foul committed. That's really, really good. I think that was like 99th or 100th percentile nationally. That's pretty special. And you consider that was his, you know, his first go around in college basketball. That's pretty good. It tells me he's a pretty nice disciplined defender.
I guess Jalen Williams and JD Notae, those are the two players that we're watching right now to see what they do. I'd like to get your opinion on this. To me, it seems like it's probably less likely that Notae returns just because of the age that he is and the point that he is in his career than if Williams returned. And, you know, nothing against Notae. It feels like they're bringing in some players who can contribute some of the elements of his game next season, you know, in terms of some of the high school signees that they have. I don't know that they've got another Jalen Williams who's coming in. It feels to me like if they lost Williams, that would be a bigger blow to next year's team than if they lost Note.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, not that JD wouldn't help him. I'd be curious to know, and I have no idea what the conversations are like between Eric and those guys. Like, is he encouraging him to come back? Or is he saying, I'm sure he's encouraging Jalen to come back without a doubt, because I think Jalen obviously is going to be a good pro player. And like Scotty said, he's getting some second-round looks. And if he got invited to the combine, he had a really good combine, who knows, maybe he could move up the draft boards. But and JD's, I think, you know, he's got work he could improve on too. But you feel like if JD comes back with the kind of stats he did this year because of the other talent on the perimeter, doesn't mean that he wouldn't help him or, you know, he couldn't improve his own game. But and he is a fifth-year guy, so this would be a sixth year. Then you got to ask, well, is he going to be drafted? What are his options in the G League with a war going on between Russia and Ukraine? Do you want to go play overseas right now? Do you want to go play in Europe? I mean, who know? I mean, personally, I would not want to be overseas right now with what's going on in the world, but those are conversations obviously Eric's had with JD. But yeah, I agree. Jalen would be a harder guy to replace just because of all the things he does, you know, as a unique big man with his ball handling ability, taking charges. But I'm sure that's why they're recruiting like they are. They're hedging their bets in case Jalen was to leave.
I don't know that there were 12 other players who were any better than Jalen Williams in the NCAA tournament. He just really impressed me with this type of play. Scotty, I go back to something that we heard Eric Musselman talk about, actually when he spoke at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club in October. And he was asked about Justin Smith and Jalen Tate and whether or not they had the option to return or if they wanted to return. And, you know, he told them that he thought it was in their best interest to go play professional basketball. He said he would love to have them back this season. I wonder if maybe those are kind of the same conversations going on with Note right now.
Yeah, I would certainly think so. I mean, last year, I mean, we kind of got the same kind of feel with Justin and Jalen Tate after last season that I'm kind of getting, and I imagine Bob is too, with JD. It's just that I'm not sure that you could come back to school another year and maybe help your draft stock. I remember before Arkansas played at LSU in its final home game, which like their senior night or whatever, and they didn't really have it just because, you know, it's hard to get family in on a Tuesday and you just had a home game on a Saturday. A lot of the family came in for that, but you're not going to have a senior day that day because it's not your last home game technically. So he talked a little bit about that before that LSU game. And he mentioned that sometimes, you know, it's in a kid's best interest to not come back to school and just kind of go start your career. And, you know, it takes time unless you're a Moses Moody type or, you know, maybe a Bobby Portis type talent to, you know, get to the league and prove yourself and stay there. And, you know, if you come back to school, that's a year that you don't have on your young body. You know, when you finally do get to the pros, that's one less year that you've got to kind of go make a living for yourself. And so I think that's kind of maybe along those lines, that's kind of the conversation that, you know, maybe Eric is having with JD. I think JD's going to be a guy that, you know, I think we're going to see he's as good as he was in college. He's going to thrive more at the pro level where the floor is more spaced. And, you know, I think JD can, you know, in the NBA, you see a lot more guards get into ball screen actions where they're getting downhill as opposed to just kind of dribbling up to it. And then, you know, just kind of reading and reacting there. You know, maybe I just watched too much of the Phoenix Suns and Chris Paul doing that. But I think JD can do that because he's exceptional. He's just out of this world, you know, when he gets downhill going to the rim. And I think that's going to be a big part of his game in the NBA. And the lane's going to be more open for him. He's going to be facing a lot bigger and better shot blockers at the next level, wherever that may be. But you know, I think JD's next step is to get paid a lot to play at the pro level. You know, I think Arkansas would be a better team with them next year, obviously, because he's an All-American type guy. But I think it's probably time for for JD to, you know, just to start his pro career. And, you know, just for Eric, I think it's he's looking forward to seeing what he can do offensively with some of these young guys that really kind of fit the mold of what he wants to, and maybe that point guard spot.
The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit their showroom at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers, or online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
The McDonald's All-America game was earlier this week, and as we said earlier, the Razorbacks had three signees or commits who were playing in the game. Anthony Black committed to Arkansas on Monday, the day before the McDonald's game. He hasn't signed yet. He's going to during the late signing period that I think begins here in just a couple of weeks. Also, the Razorbacks had Nick Smith play in at the North Little Rock guard. Also, Jordan Walsh from Texas, who's played his senior year at Link Prep in Branson, Missouri. Nick Smith was 4 of 15 during the game, scored 8 points. Black had 4 points, 4 assists, and 3 rebounds. And Walsh scored 4 points and had 3 rebounds. Scotty, I know you got to watch just a little bit of the McDonald's game. What were your thoughts watching those players? And then you also got to see Jordan Walsh this week playing in the Geico National Championships with his team from Branson.
Yeah, it's a really fun group of guys to watch. I mean, I think the thing that just kind of blows me away is just how fluid they are with the ball in their hands in transition. And I know there's been a few comparisons to Jordan Walsh. It's kind of Andre Iguodala-ish. He gets up the floor in a hurry just because he's, you know, his stride dribbles when he's in the open floor. I mean, he can take two dribbles and he can cover 25 feet. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. And then he made maybe one of the best passes. I'm not exaggerating. Maybe one of the best passes, like an anticipation pass that I've ever seen. Just kind of dribbling up the right side of the floor. He throws a left-handed bounce pass between two defenders to a player dunk. And it was just like it kind of blew me away. And then I watched him with Link Academy in the Geico National Tournament against Oak Hill. And he did it. Like I think he had 22 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, something like that. He was 9 of 10 from the floor. And he tried to dunk everything. And I love that about him. He just doesn't really care about the feelings of the people on the other team, which also love that too. Like you got to kind of have no mercy. And I think that's kind of like the thing about these guys that Eric's got. Like Anthony Black's the same way. And Nick Smith has got some killer in him too. And I think that's just kind of the overarching characteristic group, other than, you know, they're electric and just a lot of fun to watch. There's a lot of length in there too. And one thing I will say, if you're waiting on Eric to get a traditional point guard to run his offense, you're going to be sitting around waiting for a long time, because I think in the past he's proven that if he can get a Martin twin type player to run his offense, you know, that 6'7", you know, 6'6", 6'7", long, lanky playmaking guard, he's going to do it. And that's what he's got with, you know, Jordan Walsh is going to run point some. Anthony Black, 6'7", he fits that mold too. He's, you know, he's a point guard. And Nick Smith might not be 6'6" or 6'7", but he's, you know, kind of cut from that same cloth. going to run your offense. And he wants playmakers out of his point guards too. And I think that's a pretty apt description of those three guys.
Does it feel to you like this year is going to have less action in the transfer portal from Arkansas's standpoint? Now, Arkansas is going to have some players to go to the portal. Chance Moore has already said that he's entering the transfer portal. I would not be surprised at all to see Connor Vanover go to the portal, KK Robinson, maybe Jackson Robinson, you know, players who didn't get to play a whole lot this season. And I don't know what their roles are going to be moving forward if they were to return to Arkansas. Obviously, they've gotten the player out of Missouri. They've been to see Fardaz Amak, a big man from Utah Valley. He averaged 18.9 points, 13.5 rebounds, and over a block a game this season for Utah Valley. He was the player of the year in the Western Athletic Conference. In fact, his double doubles were second only to Oscar Tshiebwe this year at Kentucky National. And that was because Tshiebwe got to play in an NCAA tournament game and Utah Valley did not. But, you know, otherwise, I know Arkansas is making a lot of inquiries to players in the portal, but I just don't know that there's enough space on the roster next season, especially if they're able to bring back Jalen Williams. And they've got six signees coming in. I don't know that this is going to be as active of a year in the portal as it's been, you know, the first few years under Eric Musselman.
Yeah, I can see Eric. Obviously, he's added one in Brazil, maybe adding another. You know, Eric said something, I think it was in San Francisco, talking about recruiting. And, you know, you see Arkansas on Twitter connected to about 35, 40 guys, you know, or something. And that may be guys they've contacted, done some preliminary work on. But Eric said, hey, you know, we're not going to tell you the main guys we're recruiting. And really, they're only serious about a guy if Eric talks to them. So out of that 35 or whatever, maybe Eric talks to five or six of them, you know, trying to close it out for the two or three they really want. And so, I think Arkansas might add another portal guy. I would say three at the very most, but maybe probably just another one. And then we'll have to see. Obviously, they're over scholarship. I know some guys are going to leave. We're not sure about, you know, JD and Jalen. You know, some other guys, but I mean, they're obviously going to get to 13. That goes without saying, but yeah, I don't think Arkansas has to be quite as active, you know, because last year Chance Moore was the only high school player they signed, you know, and Eric kind of talked about how, when you couldn't go out and watch guys in person, it made you a little less likely to sign high school kids. But, you know, he's shown the ability. He signed at McDonald's All American Nevada. I think it was Brown, big 6'10" kid, ended up going to Arizona when Eric left. But you know, I think the norm's going to be bringing in top high school talent. And it kind of depends year to year, but bringing in six guys, obviously, bringing in six freshmen, they obviously don't need as much help in the portal as maybe in years past.
I kind of feel like AMAC is going to be this year's maybe Kevin O'Banner. You know, last year, that was the one that a lot of people seemed to want out of ORU. He ends up going to Texas Tech, made a great impact at Texas Tech. I feel like AMAC, wherever he ends up, and all, a lot of the blue bloods are wanting him. Kentucky, I've seen, is going after him. Gonzaga, some others. He's going to be that player that's a really big fish to land during this offseason. Whether or not Arkansas is still interested, I don't know. You know, maybe Brazil takes that spot that they were looking at for him.
Yeah, I think Arkansas would be crazy to not kind of go after the AMAC kid. You know, I was looking at a lot of his numbers, and he looks pretty impressive. I think, though, once you land Brazil, that kind of tells me that you've added some front court depth, and maybe, I don't want to say that AMAC is a backup plan for if Jalen leaves, but I think if Jalen stays, like, I think your front court's okay. Maybe you add, you know, a player maybe at that small forward, power forward spot, maybe out of the portal, who's a little bit proven, just to maybe shore up your front court depth just a little bit more. But AMAC is a pretty intriguing guy. I think the only thing that I've read that's a little bit of a knock on him is, you know, he didn't finish really well in like post-up type situations. I think he was around 42% in a league that, you know, he had a pretty good size advantage in every night. So maybe that's something to keep an eye on. If he does end up here, I mean, there's no telling. I remember, you know, I kind of keep waiting to see if Jalen is going to declare for the draft. But I remember last year, Moses Moody didn't declare until April 9th. And so maybe we've got some time maybe before a decision from Jalen comes down. I think another decision that's really big is Audis Toney. Like, he's got a decision to make. I think he could benefit from another year back, you know, in terms of making money. through NIL, and then obviously he could help Arkansas in the court. I think he'd day one be a starter, and he'd be a leader for you, give you some of the exact same things that he gave you this year, maybe work on that jumper just a little bit more. But I just think I think Jalen's decision and Aldis Tony's decision, I think, can maybe impact just how much and how hard Arkansas goes into the portal this spring.
That NBA draft process, that's about as confusing as it gets with all the different dates enrolling and withdrawing. Remember what happened with Isaiah Joe a couple of years ago. That'll be something to watch really closely over the next couple of months. Scotty, Bob, we appreciate it. And we appreciate you joining us all season for the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. We'll continue having basketball podcasts throughout the offseason, especially whenever we've got scheduling news on transfers in or out of the program, also on recruits for the class of 2023 and beyond. Also, make sure to check out our Whole Hog Baseball podcast. You can find it by searching Whole Hog Radio. That's WHOLEHOGRADIO on Apple, Spotify, or in most podcast stores. Bubba Carpenter, the color analyst for the Razorback baseball team, joins me each week to break down the previous week's matchup and look ahead to this week. This week's baseball podcast looks at the Razorback series against Mississippi State. For Scotty Bordelon and Bob Holt, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.